Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Is over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That was a gigantic, let me say this again, a gigantic victory for the Green Bay Packers there. And I never saw it coming as far as how they went about doing it. Good afternoon, Packer fans. It's in the books. Ha! Diggity dog. The Packers get the win. Yeah, I got a little close. Yeah, Anthony Richardson had a chance to throw the ball down the field and see what happens. But the Packers win 16-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. Phone lines wide open. It's you, me, and my producer, Tommy Wirtz. So if you want to hop aboard and talk about Green Bay Packer football without having to wait for everybody and their mama on the other stations to talk, here's your chance. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You, me, for the next couple of hours plus, when Matt LaFleur talks, we'll hear a little bit of that. If they let Malik Willis talk, we'll hear a little bit of that as well. And anybody else that may come along that they may have, we will bring you as well. I don't even know where to start. I think the first place I want to start is, how about Matt LaFleur? Huh? Y'all, not y'all, some of y'all like to criticize Matt LaFleur. Some of y'all, he's not that good. Aaron Rodgers was the reason he was as good as he was. It wasn't LaFleur, it was Rodgers. How often have I heard that? Then, last year, in the first half of the year, when nobody knew the playbook, and the offense was sputtering, see, I told you Matt LaFleur wasn't that good. Then the second half, the Packers' offense takes off. And then what was it? Oh, man, Jordan Love's amazing. Oh, my goodness. These wide receivers are so good. Anybody bring flowers to Matt LaFleur from you Packer fans in the second half of last year? Because y'all should have. This is the thing. And I can't emphasize this enough. This Malik Willis dude, he was in Tennessee. Right? Coincidentally, where LaFleur came from. He was there. Now, again, he's more mature, a couple years. I get all that. But what LaFleur did was he pulled out his bag of tricks out of his game running the football, something that none of the Matt LaFleur previous games had on tape. These dudes didn't know this was coming. Gus Bradley had no idea. There's no film of this anywhere that what he was running today in the first half. None. It took us Bradley a half to figure out what was going on. And when he did, then he was able to slow him down. But by that point, the Packers had a sizable enough lead where they were just playing into him. He gave Malik Willis a chance to win the football game. That's what he did. He gave him a chance to win the football game. And he gave the Packers a chance to win the football game. So, for me, Matt LaFleur, we haven't got to MVP yet. We will. But that's your MVP of the game as far as I'm concerned. We can talk about Jacobs running for a million yards in the first half and everything else. Matt LaFleur, Tommy Wirtz, that right there, that dude is your MVP of the game. By the way, I believe the Detroit Lions just lost to the Buccaneers in Detroit. That also will put a smile on your face as a Packers fan. All right, go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I think that this has to be up there with the Dallas playoff game as Matt LaFleur's best coaching performances. Absolutely. You know, Malik Willis, the expectation for him was, hey, you know, don't mess it up. And we have to make sure that he limits turnovers, doesn't do anything that costs us the game. And by the end of the game, Matt LaFleur was so confident in Malik Willis, he was letting them pick up the first downs that they needed to in that fourth quarter. I think absolutely Matt LaFleur is the most valuable player today, even though he's not a player, I get that. But right now, if you tell anyone that while Jordan Love is out, Malik Willis will pick up a win while he's out there on the field. Just in any of the games that he's playing, you're going to take that as a victory. And he did it with being on the team for 3 weeks now.
Yep.
That is absolutely incredible. There was so many misdirections, and I think they had eight guys touch the football in the first quarter there. Like, they just wanted to see anything that was going to be working there. And by the end of the game, Matt LaFleur thought, you know what, Malik Willis, we'll trust him to make some plays over there.
Yep.
And the weaponry by committee, the weaponry, the depth of this Green Bay Packers team is what's going to help them separate themselves as one of the best teams in the league by the end of the year when they're fully healthy.
This is the thing, too. We start talking about how we attack another team. Now, I'm going to tell you right here, before 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, about next week, this will not be the same game plan. They will not run this same game plan next week because Tennessee's defense is much better than Indianapolis's. So they're not going to be able to do what they did today and expect to win. The Colts kind of said, hey, come run on us. And what I thought was going to happen during the week on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, Charlie Usen and I both agreed. Colts were just going to walk everybody up in the box and say, Malik Willis, throw over the top of us. But Matt LaFleur knows that Gus Bradley is as stubborn as they come. A defensive coordinator in this league for 100 years, wants to play cover three, doesn't want to have to get away from what he does, and just runs the same scheme out there time in and time out. He did make an adjustment, but it wasn't until halftime. He wasn't going to come out in his normal base until the Packers could prove they could run. And, you know, to Gus Bradley and the Colts, that defense, yeah, they gave up 10 points. It should have been like 21. You know, Jacobs doesn't fumble that ball into the end zone. That's 17 at least nothing at halftime, Tommy.
Yeah, that was a huge play, and I think I'm going to bring it up again later on in the show, but huge defensive stand after that, too, because Indy's getting momentum after that. They've been trounced on the defensive side when the first three drives of the game, that would have been scoring plays for Green Bay. And then the defense to come up big, force a three and out right away after that. And I think that Halfley definitely deserves some flowers today, too, after he got a lot of criticism last week, even though we kind of thought that the Philly offense was going to be explosive this year. He came back out, and did he stop the run? Great. No, Jonathan Taylor was the only reason they were keeping him in the game, but
it was still that soft shell. I mean, he didn't change all that much, really.
He obviously was confusing Anthony Richardson out there today, and that is exactly what we needed out of them from the Packers, from Halfley. It's a huge bounce back week for him as well, too.
And that was the one thing I said about the Packers defense during the week, which was, if it was me, I'd play cover two, keep everything in front of me, don't let him hit the home run ball. And if he can dink and dunk you 5, 6, 7 yards at a time all the way down the field, Godspeed. You'll win. You'll beat us if you can do that. But, as I said during the week, he can't do it. Richardson can't do it. He's going to give you a couple opportunities to intercept the ball. Just don't drop him.
He was atrocious today. I mean,
and
that
was... And the Packers,
was...
other than Quay Walker, didn't drop him. They got three picks, and they should have had... Well, it would have been three either way, because Walker would have intercepted before Williamson in the last play. But, again, other than Walker dropping one, they caught the balls that were thrown to him.
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson, they made him make decisions. The Colts trusted him, rather, to make decisions on, you know, there was the huge tackle for loss Lucas Van Ness had on the read option that he just completely made the wrong read. He had dropped the ball two times earlier in the game as well, too. This was not, okay, Anthony Richardson is, or rather that, the Colts coaching was really going back and forth with them, too. Anthony Richardson and his receivers really had a rough game today as well, too, that also made Halfley look better. I mean, we were talking about it beforehand. There was four or five drops in this game that were absolutely impactful.
And Adonai Mitchell, who is their rookie out of Texas, not good today at all.
No.
Between the drops and then stopping, running the route down the right sideline there on that last drive for them that almost led to an interception. Holy cow. I thought the Lions had won that game. Why are they still playing? Did I miss something?
I haven't been paying attention completely, honestly.
The Buccaneers give the ball back that quick?
They must have had all their timeouts.
I guess there's still time. All right. Like 17 seconds and counting. The Lions are down 4 at the 25 of Tampa. They need a touchdown. So we'll see if Jared Goff has any luck. His first play of the day earlier today was an interception. So we'll see. That would be a huge loss for the Lions and a huge loss for the Packers, because then all of a sudden they're 1-1 and you're feeling really good about things in this division. Now, again, Tennessee next week is not going to be easy because that defense is much better than Indianapolis's defense. But again, think about this. Coming into this game, Malik Willis had no passing touchdowns in his career. He's played like a couple years. No passing touchdowns. Well, that changed.
41 for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. And it's still going to Wicks. And a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike. And a touchdown.
I'll tell you what. I was so excited that he got that touchdown pass out of the way. Boom, done. We don't got to worry about him not having a touchdown pass going into next week. So that clears. And it made it 10-0. That was a, now you got 10 points. You're up double digits. I tweeted before the game. I said, please tell me this is not going to be like the Badger-Alabama game yesterday. Please tell me. I can't handle watching another butt-whooping if this was going to happen. What happened? Packers get the ball. They move right down the field. Boom, kick the field goal. I'm like, okay. Now let's come on. Here we go. And that touchdown just made me feel better. And I think, well, LaFleur is never going to admit to this, but I think Matt LaFleur gained some more confidence in Malik Willis when he made that throw and got that touchdown. Every completion he makes, Matt LaFleur started to gain, I think, a little bit more confidence as the game went on, Tommy. So even though it was big for Malik Willis, I think it was big for Matt LaFleur's play calling. Because if he whiffs on two or three throws early, he really is going to take it out of his hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the, you know, the 40-yard throw down the field to Dobbs, obviously, was the home run, the big play. But there was a third down to Dontavian Wicks that was third and medium or some sorts in that fourth quarter that Malik, he knew it right away. He knew his first read. He looked like he knew the playbook really well today. He was confident. LaFleur was confident. They threw it to Dontavian Wicks, and it was a huge play that was able to get them down there to have Narveson try to get his last field goal of the game. But took more time off the clock. It was a huge third down in there. When you knew Matt LaFleur could trust Malik Willis, and they didn't have to, you know, in the first half, they were trusting Josh Jacobs a lot,
right,
and they're using him, oh, it's third and eight, let's just see if he picks it up, right? We'll take clock at this point. And when he knew, all right, it's third and medium here, it's not necessarily a 50-50 down, like they kept saying all day on the broadcast today, by the way. They trusted Malik Willis to get them big plays, and he hadn't made any mistakes. There was no reason not to trust him.
Absolutely right. And that is something that is going to carry over to next week. Now, that trust that he built up today can easily be gone in a matter of seconds next week against Tennessee.
Do you know who I also think built a lot of trust today other than just Malik Willis in Matt LaFleur's offense? I think it's safe to say that with Jordan Love out, Tucker Kraft is this team's starting tight end as well, too. I mean, we barely saw Musgrave at all, and Kraft was laying blocks down all day.
I had that last week, people coming at me with Tucker Kraft is the number one tight end. It's not 1-1A like everybody says it is with Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. It's Tucker Kraft. And if we talk about who the better run blocker is, I think it is Tucker Kraft. So if this is going to be what this offense looks like, and I don't think it's going to be because you can't run like this against Tennessee, I don't believe. But I could be proven wrong. Maybe they will. But if that's what it's going to be, more run than pass, and it's going to be really a big imbalance, then yeah. But I'll take it a step further and say, then they should run a lot more double tight ends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that elite gives you the option of throwing out of that same formation that you want to run in. You can run double tight ends on one side of the line. You can run them each on the other side of the line. You can split guys out from that double tight end set and get mismatches. I love running that. And the other thing, too, you saw today was you saw personnel groups out there that we haven't really seen. Well, part of the reason is Marshawn Lloyd can't stay on the field. But when Marshawn Lloyd was out there, at one point, you had him in the backfield with Jaden Reed, and then you had Malik Willis. Was he in the pistol or the shotgun? I don't remember. But they were both in the backfield with Malik Willis. I'm going, okay, that's something. And again, that's not on film for the Colts to look at either. They have not seen that.
Yeah, that was the faking the end around outside, and then it was just an inside zone right underneath it there. They ran that play a lot today, and it was fairly effective until the last time they ran it, which was on, I believe, the last offensive drive before they gave the ball back to Indy. They loved that play, and Indy had no answer for it because they wanted to commit so hard to Jaden Reed and not let him be the one who beat you today, and it ended up being Josh Jacobs.
And that's the thing, too, is you started to see what LaFleur's thinking with this running back room because he was allowing them all to get touches because as many times as he wanted to run the football, he was going to kill Josh Jacobs if he gave him every carry. So now you're able to let Marshawn Lloyd get in there and get some carries, get some experience, because I think, we'll see if I'm wrong or not, I think he's going to be the main running back on this team in the next couple of years. Eventually, that's how this is going to play out. Now, we'll see if that plays out or not. I just don't know if they stick with Josh Jacobs for the entirety of this contract. I think it's a year, 2 years, and then they turn over the reins to Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd's issue in college was what? Fumbling the football. But guess what? Jacobs' issue is fumbling the football too. And we saw that earlier in the game. So both of them have kind of the same issue. The difference, I think Marshawn Lloyd has the ability to make people miss a little bit better than Jacobs. But Jacobs today, man, run over guys, make people miss, start to try and run away from people. He showed you everything that Josh Jacobs is about. And he looked more like the second half of last week in the first half of this week. Again, differently designed run plays and so forth. But you got to see more of what Josh Jacobs gives you on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and they had to keep honest with Malik Willis running the football as well, too. I mean, this Jacobs was breaking the first tackle, it felt like, every time he was out there. And once they started to gain the confidence with Malik Willis on, hey, he hasn't made mistakes, we'll give him opportunities, that QB draw they had running up today was awesome. I don't believe he was sacked today, right? No sacks today. He was able to get away from defenders very easily. Malik Willis, you could not have asked for a better game out of a backup quarterback, and he was just as impactful in the run game as he was throwing the football, if not more.
Here's one for you from Abe Jarashevsky, a senior sports analyst at Sport Radar. Malik Willis posted a 126.8 quarterback rating in his first start as a Packer. That is the highest by a Packers quarterback in their first start with the team since Brett Favre posted a 144.6 in his first career start, week 4, 1992 versus the Steelers.
You might be able to add up all of Malik Willis's previous quarterback ratings, and it might not have gotten to 126 based on how terrible he played in Tennessee. I don't have that in front of me, but
he played like three games.
Yeah, you might be able to add him up, and it would be lower than the 126 that he had today. He was phenomenal.
I always say this, and I will continue to say it to the day I die. Aaron Rodgers' career is not what Aaron Rodgers' career is if he does not have McCarthy and Clements through that beginning of his career to get him ready to play and get him out there and surrounded by the guys that he was surrounded by. I just don't think so. If Aaron Rodgers goes one instead of Alex Smith, his career is much, much different. And Jordan Love pretty much said the same thing, which is, I was not ready to play my rookie year. I was not ready. There's no way I would have done well. It would have been a long road had I had to play right off the bat that first year and start. So from that perspective, it is about coaching. And if Malik Willis would have started his career with a coach like LaFleur, I think he might still be with that same team had he had a coach like LaFleur to be his first guy that was, you know, his first play caller, offensive coordinator, designing offenses around what he did well. They did this with literally no time. Right?
Yeah, it
Tennessee,
was.
Malik Willis knew the offense, had the offense, but they didn't change the offense when he came in to help him. They made him run the offense. Who was quarterbacking? Tannehill? Was that still the quarterback in Tennessee at that time? No. Was it Mariota? I don't remember. It wasn't Mariota. Mariota was gone. But either way, when he had that opportunity for those couple of starts, he was playing that Tennessee offense that was already there. LaFleur said, I'm not changing my offense, as they said on the broadcast, but I'm going to add to my offense and do stuff that we normally wouldn't do on first and second down. So technically you didn't change your offense, but you kind of changed your offense by adding a bunch of stuff that nobody's seen.
It was modified, absolutely. You couldn't run the same offense that you can with Jordan Love, with Malik Willis, not just based on the talent, but based on the time, right? I mean, you can't open up the playbook all the way for a guy who's been here 3 weeks and expect him to play like Jordan Love. He's not Jordan Love. I think that what LaFleur did today really separated himself as a play caller and really puts him back into that, right? He was on that Washington staff that has all the gurus that you see that graphic all the time with McVay and McDaniel. This was absolutely a perfect example of the creativity that Matt LaFleur can get when he needs to find a way to win a football game without a superstar at quarterback.
Absolutely. Packers get the win today. And a big win at that. We'll take your calls, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan or at Sparky Radio. Malik Willis gets his first thrown touchdown pass of the day, 12 of 14, 122 yards. We'll go inside the box score next. Take your calls, also your tweets as well. Straight ahead, Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express on 1250 AM The Fan. Sparky.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
With you. All right, here we go. Packers get the win 16-10. If you want to jump aboard, let's go. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Packers get the win again 16-10. Let's jump inside the numbers here. And again, a early field goal for Narveson, which was a beautiful thing, even though later he would miss one. I feel like this is Anders Carlson all over again. But, you know, every game, Tommy Wirtz, we're going to see him miss something, whether it's an extra point or a field goal. But I'm feeling this is like Carlson all over.
Yeah, and it's not even, okay, it's over 50 yards or something. No. You can be a little nervous about it. I'm nervous anything 40 yards or more.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So Narveson did hit one from 46 to start the scoring for the Packers. Then we go to their second score of the game. And as we played it earlier, highlight courtesy of Fox 6, Malik Willis's first career passing touchdown.
Thought he ran for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. And it is still there. Wicks and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike and a touchdown.
And really, after that, it was just field goals for the Green Bay Packers. A 42-yard field goal there in the third, a 34-yard field goal there in the fourth, also a missed field goal from the one and only Mr. Narveson. But the Packers get the win. Malik Willis, 12 of 14, 122, and a touchdown, a quarterback rating of 126.8. Again, that is the highest debut for a Packers starter since Brett Favre's 144 back in 1992. Rushing the football, Josh Jacobs was the guy for certain. 32 for 151 in this one. And it's hard not to be excited about Josh Jacobs when he shows you the second half of last week and then what he did in the first half today. Now, again, he had a fumble that absolutely killed him when it should have been an easy touchdown. But either way, 32 for 151 is a ton. 4.7 yards on the ground there. Malik Willis, 6 carries, 41 yards. And hey, look, they were trying to get him to run. This was not Matt LaFleur saying, stay in the pocket and throw. This was, we're going to design a couple runs from you. If you don't like what you see, take off and run. And he was able to be successful doing that. Jaden Reed, 2 carries for 37 yards. Marshawn Lloyd, 6 for 15. Emmanuel Wilson, 5 for 9. Bo Melton, 2 for 8. Now, I want to pay attention to this all year and see if we see this again. How many more times do you think we'll see 6 different Packer players carry the football in a game for this team throughout the remainder of the season? I was texting with my dad earlier before the show started. He's like, man, with this running game, Jordan Love looks like he did last year. They're going to the Super Bowl. And I said, this ground game is not going to look like this when Jordan Love comes back. I mean, I love you, but there's no way he's going to run the ball this much when Jordan Love comes back. We're going to go back to winging it all over the place and, you know, trying to press things down the field, Tommy. That's why I'm not sure you'll see much more of 6 guys carrying the football. But as a fan with a question at quarterback, you got to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way that they're going to do that. They're going to have a lot more trust to throw the ball down the field with Jordan Love. But they needed to make opportunities to get their playmakers the ball, right? I mean, this was not the game where we wanted to see Malik Willis is going to be the guy and the superhero that tries to do it all himself during the game. This was, hey, we have so much depth on this team. We need to run the football because we need to dominate time of possession in this game. On top of it, Josh Jacobs got off to a great start, obviously, at over 100 yards after the first quarter, I think. And why not get a couple of plays in there for Jaden Reed? He's probably your most explosive player on offense. You got to try to get him the ball. They did that little swing pass that was a run. They ended up changing the stat for it. But they needed to get as many people the ball because it was not supposed to be Malik Willis needs to lead us to victory. It was Malik Willis needs to tactically get us to victory.
I thought during the week that they were going to rotate Clifford and Willis. I said it from about Wednesday on that they were splitting first-team snaps. I was like, well, the only reason we're splitting first-team snaps is if they think Clifford's going to get in here and play some, because otherwise, why wouldn't you let Malik Willis build up as much chemistry as possible with these receivers throughout the course of the weekend practice? Why are we taking snaps away from Malik Willis? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I was clearly wrong. They decided they were going to let only Malik Willis go.
Yeah, and you won't see Sean Clifford all year now because of that. So this game has bought Malik Willis every backup opportunity pending health the rest of the season.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, he's definitely their guy. And then he's under contract for next year, too. So you don't have to worry about this necessarily going into next year. The thing about Malik Willis will be, how much does he improve with Tom Clemens coaching him throughout the year? Right, when Jordan Love comes back on the side, how much does he grow, learn the offense, and so forth? How much better does he get when they get that quarterback school in the offseason for the Packers? How much better does he look in OTAs and so forth? How much better will he look in preseason and so forth as well? You know, that's something else to consider as far as how good he gets. Because, folks, I know this is going to sound nuts, but if he improves and he gets better and keeps going in the right way, I don't think it's crazy to think that the Packers say, all right, dude, we'll pay like $1.5 million a year to come be our backup for the next 2 or 3 years. And then you can go out of the market. And if you know you have an opportunity to go hit a big free agent contract, go get it. I don't think that's nuts. Maybe it is. Romeo Dobbs, let's go back to the Inside the Box here, brought to you by our fine folks over at Steelwind Industries right there. In Oak Creek, they're like the guardian angels of our toy drive every year. So thanks so much for them to step up and be a sponsor of our show this year. Romeo Dobbs, 3 catches, 62 yards. Dontavian Wicks, 3 catches, 26 yards and a touchdown. Tucker Kraft, 2 for 16. Jaden Reed, 2 for 9. Luke Musgrave, 1 for 6. Marshawn Lloyd, 1 for 3 out of the backfield. And just like we had 6 different people running the football today, you had 6 different receivers / tight ends catching the football today for the Green Bay Packers. Even though it's only 122 yards, still spreading the ball out, which is what you want to do. On defense, 6 tackles leads the way for Quay Walker. A huge dropped interception there on that last drive. Hit him right in the hands and in the face on top of it. Couldn't come up with it. Javon Bullard had 5 tackles on the day, including a pass deflected. Isaiah McDuffie had 4 tackles on the day, pass deflected, and a quarterback hit to go along with it. Only 1 sack on the day. That was Devontae Wyatt's sack. Xavier McKinney with another interception today for the Green Bay Packers. Have to be excited about him. 2 interceptions in 2 games. You give all that money to Xavier McKinney in the offseason, and right now, you know, he's making it look really, really good and paying it back. Keyshawn Nixon had 3 tackles. Kenny Clark with 3 tackles as well. A couple tackles for losses for Devontae Wyatt. A couple quarterback hits, including that sack, which was good too. Tyre Alexander, I thought, played well. Evan Williams had that interception at the end. And Eric Wilson, had an interception too. Overall, you know, we talk about this defense. Yeah, they play off a little bit, but I think that was by design here the last couple of weeks because you were facing running quarterbacks in Hurts and Richardson. If they do this against Will Levis in Tennessee, and if they do this against Sam Darnold in Minnesota, then I will say, okay, that's what this defense is going to be. But I think they're going to try and pressure Will Levis. And I think they will go after Sam Darnold. Neither one of those two guys are threats to run. Both of those guys, I think you're going to try to shake and rattle their cage a little bit. And I think you'll start to see more blitzing from this Packers defense here in the next couple of weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a completely right. You don't have very mobile quarterbacks coming up the next 2 weeks. Anthony Richardson, he's obviously dual threat. You got to be cautious of that. And I think they were doing a good enough job with making him think with their secondary, right? They didn't necessarily need the pass rush today against the Colts. What they did have is a lot of disguise coverages that was fooling Anthony Richardson the entire time. He made terrible reads throughout this entire game. The last drive where he didn't get the interception on Quay Walker was, it was the freest interception Quay Walker could have ever had in his career and just dropped it.
Yep.
The Eric Wilson interception was obviously Anthony Richardson made up his mind he was going to go there as well. And they trusted that. They trusted the young second-year quarterback to make reads to beat them because they know he likes to do multiple things when he has the ball in his hand. And if they're going to force him to throw, they didn't trust his ability to read a defense today, and they exploited it. It showed.
If you take Anthony Richardson's games from college and the pros, I believe the number is 17 games he had played coming into this season, or into this game, I should say. That's not a lot, considering he was a guy that was in college at Florida, still didn't take a lot of game action, because again, keeps getting hurt, and then got hurt again in Indy last year, and now back in there again. He made that one run down the left sidelines for that first down. And we'll see what they say after the game. He was grimacing and rubbing his leg. So I have a feeling he tweaked something. I don't know how serious it is for Anthony Richardson, but it looked like he definitely hurt something running for that first down. Remarkable play, nonetheless. But still, at the end of the day, nothing great. Okay, so look at the Indianapolis Colts today. Richardson, 17 of 34, 204 yards, three interceptions, a quarterback rating of 41.8. That is not good. Not good. All right, Indianapolis rushing. Jonathan Taylor, 12 carries, 103 yards, but did not play there in the fourth quarter for the Indianapolis Colts, to which I say that was a blessing in disguise for the Green Bay Packers that you were able to not have to deal with him there in the fourth quarter because he was kind of having his way with this Packers defense, if we're being honest. He was able to get the corners and head upfield and create all kinds of problems. So Jonathan Taylor, 12 carries, 103 yards. Richardson, 4 for 37. Trey Sermon, 2 for nothing. Receiving for the Colts, Alec Pierce, 5 for 56. And, of course, that touchdown at the end. Jonathan Taylor, 2 for 32. Michael Pittman, 3 for 21. And then after that, a bunch of guys with one reception. Mitchell, Ali Cox, Doolin, Ogletree, Granson, Sermon, and Goodson all with one catch apiece for 204 yards total thrown by Anthony Richardson on the day. But three interceptions, not going to work. It's just not going to work. Nick Cross leads the way for the Colts with 15 tackles, 11 for EJ Speed, 10 for Zaire Franklin, and the Colts not able to get home and do anything with Malik Richardson. We talked about it earlier. They didn't have a sack. Guess what else? They didn't have a quarterback hit this entire game on Malik Willis either. That is amazing. Not that he didn't feel a little pressure, but because he's so mobile and can run so well, Malik Willis just got up and got out of there in a hurry. And when you're able to do that, yeah, sometimes you're going to get illegal man downfield, and that's going to happen. And why does that happen? Well, it happens because, you know, they lose track of where the quarterback is to a certain degree. Malik Willis after the game on a post-game interview on Fox 6. All right, that was Malik Willis after the game on Fox 6. I have a question. I'm ignorant. You can always feel free to dial in. Tell us what you thought about the Packers game today. I said in the beginning, and Tommy Wirtz agreed, we haven't got to the MVP open yet or whatever, but it's Matt LaFleur. He has to be. With his play calling and what he came up with to run that offense today for that team, it has to be Matt LaFleur. But why? He said, I'm not proud. I'm never proud. Whatever he said there when she asked him if he was proud. What am I missing? 414-677-1250. Is it bad to be proud of what you did? I gotta tell my kid not to say he's proud anymore of anything he does. What am I missing, Tommy?
I don't know. I'll take all his pride. I'm proud of him. That was an amazing game out of him.
I don't understand why you can't be proud of yourself for playing well.
I think he's just in that mindset of got to lock in, doesn't want to celebrate too long right now, and obviously wants to define that he is the backup and not trying to compete against Jordan Love. He's just trying to keep the team on the tracks, and I think he's all entitled to be proud for this.
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
Look, man, you came in here, again, with not nearly enough time to learn this entire offense one way or the other, And you came out of here with a victory. You didn't turn the ball over at all, interception or fumble. You really didn't make – I don't think he made any bad decisions. Can you think of a play where you're like, oh, boy, that was a mistake?
No, he was 12 of 13 on targets today.
Right.
I mean, what that can't be bad decisions. You know, I think he obviously threw a ball away for his second incompletion, but every time he was thrown in a direction of a player, they were catching it. And he was passing up easy drop-offs for downfield throws near the end
Correct.
Of the game, too. He was feeling himself.
Yes.
I mean, this was the best game of his career right here, and it looked like a guy that was meant to be a third-round draft pick today.
Robbie Stanley, who hosts a morning show down in Nashville, we've had him on Wisconsin Sports Daily, him and Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, who covers the Titans. They do a show together. And Robbie Stanley, even though he lives in Nashville and knows the morning show, is a gigantic Packer fan. So during the game in the first half, I text him like, dude, this Packers offense, man, can you believe this? And he takes me back. He's like, this is wild. And it was. It was wild. Nobody saw it coming with the way that they were able to simply destroy the Indianapolis Colts there in the first half. And the Colts really have no answers until the second half. I think your point as far as avoiding the drop-offs and trying to be more aggressive going down the field was a result of building that confidence from the beginning of the game all the way to the fourth quarter and not being worried about things. Feeling comfortable in the offense, comfortable with your guys in the huddle, comfortable that your coach believes in you now, and you have the lead, and now you can be a little bit more aggressive here. I think what you saw in the fourth quarter will be more like what you will see in the first quarter when you take on the Tennessee Titans. Now, again, this is going to be this week here is different because he's got to go home. He's got to go back to the team that drafted him, back to the team that traded him, to their field, which was his home field. I don't think they're going to boo him, but they're going to be loud on, well, they should be, but they're going to be loud when the Packers are on offense. This was a nice home environment controlled against a team that isn't that good in the Colts. Now, the Titans aren't that good either, but it'll be his first road game with this offense and being able to have to communicate with his guys. But I think when they come out, he's going to be aggressive, and you'll see them maybe go play act in the first play and try and pop one, you know, down the field right away on the Titans, who are expecting them to run a ton some more next week.
Well, and that comes back to Matt LaFleur again, because the first two drives, you got to imagine that's all scripted on the first drive and the second drive of, okay, here's our game plan of what we're going to try to see works today. This is what we're going to establish, a run game. Matt LaFleur now has that challenge again. He's 1-for-1 right now if Malik Willis is a starting quarterback. Now he's got to build another script here so that he can, again, see what more he can open with the playbook against Tennessee. And it was perfect because the Packers never fell back in this game. They led the entire time, and they never had to worry about playing from behind with Malik Willis, right? So that is super important again against Tennessee, is that if we can stay on script, or they can stay on script, and they're able to trust Malik Willis with that script and then open up from there, that's going to be crucial for another victory if they want to go up against Tennessee. Malik Willis absolutely stuck to the script today. He knows what he wants to do when Matt LaFleur is calling the plays. He was not really checking a lot of play. You know, he wasn't calling audibles or anything along those lines.
Nope.
He had all the faith in Matt LaFleur that those plays were going to work. Matt LaFleur drew up a perfect script.
Or Matt LaFleur said, you're not changing the plays. We're just going to run what I call at this point.
Well, right.
That very well could be
that was kind of a foreign idea to a lot of Packer fans for a lot of years.
No, because Rodgers and Favre were able to do what they wanted when they wanted. So, and I understand that. I'm just saying, there is a good chance that Matt LaFleur is like, dude, just run what I want. You know, if we get to that point and you're here long enough and I trust you to check in or check out things, that's fine, but you're still learning the offense. So I want to make sure we're running what I want to run. Here's something from Colton Bartholomew from Badger Extra in the Wisconsin State Journal that was during the game. Packers had 192 rushing yards there in the second quarter. In the second quarter, okay? The Packers' single game rushing records, all-time top five. 298 yards at the Bears, 1973. 301 yards at Washington in 1946. 303 against the Ravens, well, the Colts back then, in 1953. 312 versus the New York Yanks. 1912, that was their name. 366 against the Lions in Detroit in 1947. So 192 there in the second quarter. The Packers finished with 261, didn't even crack their own top five to as far as top five all-time, you know, rushing yards for their franchise. But you know, part of that is the Colts defense finally adjusting coming out of halftime. That was obviously a large part of it, but still a heck of a day on the ground. And we will hear from Matt LaFleur coming up for sure. And I am definitely looking forward to hearing from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Malik Willis as he talked to the press too. Let's go to Greg in Waukesha. You're up here on the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express. You can join us as well if you'd like to, like Greg, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sparky. Hey, Tommy. Hey, first of all, glad you guys are doing this post-game show. More live local programming, right?
Yep. You betcha. Hang in there, buddy. We'll have more to come, hopefully.
Yeah. I do have some critiques of the offense, though, today. I was just listening to you guys. I'm like, were they watching the same game that I was listening to? Because I saw a very – so – I have to admit, I turned it on in the third quarter, and it was 13-0. And what I do, my mindset when I go into these games is, or it was 10-0 at that point. And my mindset when I go into these games is, okay, how good are the Colts?
And they're then, not.
They're not good. So
I'm a Colts fan, too. Everybody's like, are you rooting for the Packers or are you rooting for the Colts? I said, I'm not rooting for either one. But if we're being honest, I'm rooting for the Packers. And that's who I was really verbally cheering for. Tommy will attest to that. He was here watching it with me. Because the Colts are going nowhere and the Packers are trying to get home field throughout the playoffs. So for me in this one, it was more important for a Packers victory than it was a Colts victory. Because the Colts aren't good. Richardson isn't good at this point either.
So first of all, we beat a bad team.
Right.
And then it just seemed like and maybe I missed a lot of stuff in the first half, but it just seemed like we were making some plays that, you know, even I give Romeo Doubs a lot of credit because my parents were listening to the game with me and my dad was like, that throw from Willis wasn't that accurate to Doubs, yet Doubs, you know, caught it.
Made a heck of a play.
There.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what you guys saw.
Again, this is what I talked about earlier. I talked about coaching being a big deal for Malik Willis and him not having it, but also, you know, having wide receivers that can make plays like that for you. You know, instead of that being an interception, that ends up being a catch and a big gain for Malik Willis. And again, he's benefited now by good coaching and really good receivers.
I don't know. I don't see him as like, and there was another play where Larry, you know, on the call of the game, Larry McCarron was going, there was some confusion in the backfield there. So I guess you're always going to have plays like that, but I guess a win is a win is a win. And that cardiac Pac-Man, that's what I always call them.
Well, it was almost the cardiac Brewers last night up by like 13-2, and they almost blew that one at the end.
I know. I was like, how are you losing? Yeah, how did you let them get six runs?
Amon Asterio was horrible. That's what happened. Horrible. Three botched plays in the eighth inning, I think it was. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. So that's what that was. Greg, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Listen, I want to clarify something here. Maybe I sound too excited by what I saw. Maybe I'm too happy. Maybe everybody else isn't as excited as I am. But do y'all remember when they couldn't win a game without Aaron Rodgers? It was loss after loss, quarterback after quarterback coming in. They couldn't figure out how to win a damn game, no matter who they were playing. Remember that?
Well, the last time they traded for a backup quarterback before the season, they jinxed themselves again, and they had to use DeShone Kizer. This Malik Willis game is so much better than any DeShone Kizer game we got. It's not even close, and I think that's another reason why you can be equally excited, because this is the exact same scenario that happened when they traded for Kizer.
But again, I'll say this, LaFleur's better than McCarthy. McCarthy didn't do much of anything to help those guys. He was trying to run the same damn offense he was running with Aaron. And LaFleur literally changed his playbook, or as he's going to say, added to it. He added to his playbook to design a bunch of stuff nobody had on film to help Malik Willis, especially there in the first half, until the other team could adjust. McCarthy didn't do that for any of his quarterbacks. He said, go play my offense. That's what we're going to run. And LaFleur didn't do that. So again, LaFleur is the man. I don't want you to be confused to think that I think Malik Willis could start for 10 years in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying, and I don't think that's what Tommy's saying. What we are saying, however, is he showed you enough to give you hope that they can maybe win next week against Tennessee. And if they don't win that game, maybe they can win against Minnesota. But he gives you hope based on the throws he made, the decisions that he made, his ability to use his legs and run, that maybe, just maybe, they can win another one before Jordan Love gets back.
And not even just without Jordan Love, but the capabilities of the offense with Jordan Love, right? Yes. I mean, the Josh Jacobs run game, this was, you know, we've seen a game's worth of it because of the second half against the Eagles and the first half against the Colts today. He didn't necessarily take the entire game, and running in the third and the fourth quarter was obviously a lot harder for Green Bay. But you saw the great plays they had drawn up for Melton and for Dobbs down the field and for Jaden Reed out of the backfield. This is just more excitement surrounding the Packers offense as a whole as well. If Malik Willis can run it, you would think Jordan Love should have no problem, right? That's the math on it. So I think that, yes, we are not saying that Malik Willis is competing against Jordan Love in any way possible, but while Jordan Love is out, we now are not dreading watching the Packer games after this.
Correct. Yes. I was very nervous before kickoff today. Very, very nervous. I was like, man, come on, dude. Come on. Let's just keep it close. Give us a chance to win at the end. Let's just keep it close. Give us a chance to win at the end. And they did way better than I thought going into this. Way better. The Badgers did just as what I thought they would do. Get absolutely annihilated. Said that all week. Not even remotely surprised they got drilled. And we'll talk about the Badger game coming up a little bit tomorrow, but a lot more on Tuesday for sure. But it's a Green and Gold Monday tomorrow. Ross Tucker, my guy Ross Tucker, will join us coming up tomorrow at 3:20 on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Again, weekday afternoons, 2 to 5. Ross Tucker tomorrow at 3:20. Can't wait to talk to him. And again, you can always stream the show on your Audacy app, AUDACY, or stream it at 1250amthefan.com as well. If you miss the post-game shows, all right there at 1250amthefan.com, your best Packers coverage page, or on your Audacy app as well. Tommy gets that up right when the show gets done. It's up within about, an hour or so of the show being done. Yeah. It gets up. So you can always check that out. Listen to it later if you miss it on a given day. Still got plenty of room for it if you want to talk more about this Packers victory and just how excited you are by what you saw. Maybe it's time to give Matt LaFleur flowers if you haven't yet. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Packers over the Colts, 16-10. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express on 1250 AM.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Fan. All right, let's get to the defensive play of the game. First, let me tell you about my guys over there at Young Express. They are looking for full-time independent contractors that want to drive locally. And again, you're working with Young Express more than you're working for Young Express. And all you're doing is driving with about 250 miles of Milwaukee, going from point A to point B, and then point B to point C, point C to point D. And you have a 24/7. Dispatch the team that's helping you get to where you need to go. So they tell you where to go first. You pick up your freight. You drop it off. You go to the next place, pick it up. You drop it off. That's all you're doing. You're driving for a living. It's real, real simple. Nothing that hard. 99% no-touch freight. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you. So all you have to do is drive. Right now, join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. All right, let's get to the defensive play of the game. I don't know. We can go numerous different ways. I'm going to go with this one, and then we'll see if Tommy Wirtz agrees or disagrees.
Richardson floating, too tall and picked off. Xavier McKinney, two games with the Packers and two interceptions.
That's what I went with. Highlight courtesy of Fox 6. Tommy, do you prefer a different play as defensive play of the game?
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. Don't get me wrong. But just for the sake of having something different, how about the speed option play where the Colts tried to run that speed option and Edgerrin Cooper, or sorry, I think it was Eric Wilson, played it absolutely beautifully, and it was a terrible decision to make that the play call right there. But it was a third down, needed a stop there. Colts were driving the entire third drive of the half for them, and he plays it beautifully. It forces a missed field goal on the very next play of the game. I think that's a huge defensive play in this game as well, too.
Yeah, I think that's another one. And speaking of Eric Wilson, he had a pick, too.
Second and 10. Richardson throws an interception. Picked off by Eric Wilson, who's made several plays today.
It is going to be tough. Highlight courtesy of Fox 6. It's going to be, I don't know if it's tough. It's probably a good problem to have. When we start talking about, and you saw it today already, getting Edgerrin Cooper on the field a lot more than what they got him on the field last week. You heard Matt LaFleur last week say, after he made a mistake on the first play that he was out there that allowed that big Barkley run, that they made him kind of sit over there and think about it, and then they realized, dude, he has to be on the field. Like, we're allowing a playmaker to sit over here because he made a mistake. He's got to go back out there. And then today, he was out there early and often in this game. Plus, you still were rotating in McDuffie. You still had Wilson out there. You still had Quay Walker out there. And not only is it a good problem to have, but it also allows you to kind of keep guys fresh a little bit too, Tommy.
Yeah, and it seems like the linebacker room, squad, whatever you want to call them, is really going to be an important part of this Packer defense this year. They spent a high pick on Cooper. They love Isaiah McDuffie, and he had a much better game today than he did last week. And Eric Wilson has been a stud. He had a fantastic game. He had chased down Jonathan Taylor on that fumble as well that they barely missed recovering, and it was only thanks to, was it, what's his last name, Durin?
Doolin.
Doolin, that's it. He had to slap it out of bounds so that the Packers didn't recover it. I think the linebackers really are the most improved group of the week because last week they seemed to be a little bit of a liability and Cooper wasn't physical enough to go up against that tough Eagles offensive line. We saw very big plays coming from them today and could add more if Quay Walker catches the last interception of the game. So the linebackers, I think, are really separating themselves as, okay, if they play well, it's going to be awesome for the defense.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of this. Now, when you had the 3-4 defense, you were really wanting to talk about the linebackers and so forth. While they're improved, I'm waiting for guys to get home here, folks. I mean, you had one guy get home in Devontae Wyatt as far as for a sack goes. As far as quarterback hits go, you had McDuffie had a quarterback hit. Wyatt had two. That's all you had. I mean, Van Ness hit the dude, and his helmet popped off, and he got nailed for it. But outside of that, you really weren't getting as much pressure probably as you want to get on a week-in, week-out basis. And I'm talking about getting home without blitzing. I understand what I'm saying. But if you talk about four guys that can get home, the Niners, when they were going and they were doing their thing with Harbaugh, had four guys on the defensive line that could get home. The Giants, when they were going with Eli, had four guys that all could get home. When we did this 4-3 defense, it was with the idea of Rashawn Gary, Van Ness, Preston Smith, Ngabare. They would be able to get home, and then Kenny Clark's going to have a bust-out year in the middle because he's not going to be stuck over the nose in that 3-4, so you're going to see him make big strides. Everybody said Devontae White was going to do something, which he has. TJ Slayton's going to get some push and take up two guys. All that. Where is it?
Yeah, we have yet to see anything really out of Van Ness and Gary the first 2 weeks.
We got to see something. I mean, yeah. I love this defense, but if you can't get pressure with your front four, it's going to make things a little bit more difficult on you because if the quarterbacks have all kinds of time, then you are going to have to blitz every week in order to get pressure.
Yeah, they were banking on bad quarterback play, I think, today.
And they won.
And they did, and I guarantee you it's going to be a similar game plan with the, you know, you're thinking, okay, we're going to get bad quarterback play out of great coverages this week. Next week,
same thing.
Will Levis doesn't have the mobility that Richardson has.
Right,
so now you're going to have to get home and force mistakes through pass rush, because you don't have to play that fear of, hey, we should have a spy on Will Levis the entire game. That's not going to be an issue.
I agree with you on that, but he's also going to make mistakes.
Oh, yes.
My point is, you're still playing another bad quarterback that's going to make mistakes.
Another very ugly turnover for him today, if you didn't see that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not good. He's not good. We'll see if how this all plays out, but I think if Malik Willis ends up getting coached up and turns out to be really good, or not really good, but it turns out to be decent, and Levis doesn't pan out, you may see and hear people in Tennessee going, that's all it was? All it was we just didn't have the right coaches to kind of make Malik Willis a better player? Sam Darnold has been all over the place in his career, right? Another guy was a first-round pick, was supposed to be all this in a bag of chips, never really worked out. Now what's happening over there in Minnesota? Now he's got O'Connell, who's a very good offensive play caller, a really good offensive mind, and through 2 weeks, they're 2-0, and they knock off the Niners today. I mean, that Vikings team, with Justin Jefferson, who had, a 97-yard touchdown catch? With that offense, and they didn't have Addison today either. He was out. But with that offense in Minnesota, they all thought, well, J.J. McCarthy's out. Well, they're going to suck. Sam Darnold so far has not sucked.
No.
Sam Darnold so far with this coaching staff and the surrounding cast looks pretty good. That's why I say sometimes when you get into the NFL, you just have bad luck of who you're surrounded by. And you go from team to team, and you just never get put in a situation that's good for you. And sometimes, see Geno Smith, it takes forever, but eventually you find a home, and then you get paid. I'm not saying Sam Darnold has found a home or he's going to get paid, but he's in a lot better situation now than he ever has been, and I think Malik Willis is the same way.
Well, I think that Malik Willis made a great stride to be in that argument on today's day. You know, if he plays like this again next week, you got to think the Packers have a chance to win. Again, that's the exact thing you wanted out of him, was to limit mistakes, get the balls to the guys who are trying to make plays, and that's exactly what he did today.
That's right, and that's something you want to see kind of going forward here. Now, you have a game coming up tonight, Bears and Texans. This is game number 2 for Caleb Williams on Sunday Night Football, against a Texans team that's very, very good. And the absolute worst thing that could happen for that Bears team tonight, with a guy that threw for 93 yards last week in Caleb Williams, is to get down early and then have to chase to get back into it against the Texans. And that is another thing that helped the Packers, was you got out to that early lead by running the football down their throat there in the first half that really made you feel good about things. If you want to have a board, feel free to do so. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. It is Green Bay Football Post Game Show driven by Young Express. Dave and Cudahy, you're next on The Fan. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What a game that was. And I think you mentioned it earlier, Sparky. You have to be absolutely correct in saying that MVP is Matt LaFleur. Look at the quality of Matt LaFleur as a coach and a game planner to show what he did getting Malik Willis ready so quickly. And I have to imagine that before they made that trade for Willis, Goody and Matt LaFleur had to have sought him out before that trade, knowing exactly what they could do with him in case Jordan Love went down. And the way that they spread that ball around, like you said, 6 rushers, 261 yards, it made the defense work. I absolutely love that today. I wish we could get a little bit more aggression from the defensive line, but to see the aggressiveness from the rest of the defense, man, this is just one heck of a game to see. And I am excited not only to have Jordan Love back, but excited to see what Matt LaFleur can do to kind of make this offense look as dangerous as humanly possible going forward.
And again, this just sets up for when Jordan Love comes back, because now you're running stuff that normally you wouldn't run. Now, will he actually keep some of this stuff in there when Love comes back, or will he take it all out and go back to what he was running before? That, I think, is the biggest question, Dave.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As long as they can spread that ball out, I mean, even when you have players like Jaden Reed, I mean, he is an absolute monster in the passing game, but for him to be out there, even in the rushing, and getting, what is it, like a little bit over 40 yards today on a couple of carries, I mean, that's huge. It's going to show what this Packers offense can do with guys that, let's just be honest, they weren't highly ranked in terms of, you know, individual players, but as a group company, I mean, they're dangerous. This is just such a great team to watch this year. And I do love the take as well that Tucker Kraft is going to be the guy going forward. We started to see that last year too, and I'm excited to see what more that Tucker Kraft can get involved with this offense.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you calling in. You can do the same thing, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Tommy Wirtz producing the show, Other Side of the Glass. So this whole Tucker Kraft, Tommy, or this Tucker Kraft Musgrave thing, I don't necessarily know whether or not it matters who's starting and who's not, if we're going to be honest about this. I mean, I'm sure it matters to them for their next contract, right? I started, 17 games in my career. I started 15 in my career, whatever. So maybe come contract time, starts do matter for these guys. But as far as this offense goes, I don't think it really matters who the starting tight end is, because both of them are going to get quite a few snaps throughout the game. Both of them are going to have opportunities to make impacts inside this offense.
Well, and they're two different players, yes. I think, too, right? You know, Musgrave's the vertical threat guy, go up and get it, and the playmaker with the ball in his hands and has a lot more athleticism than Tucker Kraft, but Kraft himself is establishing himself as a much better run blocker, obviously, and has way more trust in the run game as well with Matt LaFleur, too. And if they want to use Josh Jacobs more in their offense, and they plan to be leading in games late down the road, you're going to see a lot more Tucker Kraft on the field, because he can flat-out run block better than Luke Musgrave. So that's why I think the Tucker Kraft playing time argument is one to put out there. We're going to want to be milking away games with Josh Jacobs at the end of ball games, and Tucker Kraft is the one to do it.
Right, right. But all I'm saying is I don't disagree with he deserves more playing time than Musgrave. I'm just saying who starts the game. Like, I think everybody gets wrapped up into, Musgrave started, that's ridiculous, Kraft's better, he should be starting.
Sure.
All I'm saying is, I don't think it really matters in the grand scheme of things, because Kraft is still going to have his opportunities throughout the game, as is Musgrave. And if Kraft is playing better or is a better fit in the offense, then he'll get more snaps than Musgrave.
I also don't want them to be a sell on what's coming. I don't want Musgrave to be in only on pass plays, right? That could absolutely be something, too. So Tucker Kraft, I think, because of how valuable he is in the run game, he's going to get a lot of opportunities when the ball's in the air, too. So that's my thoughts on why. And maybe they do that double tight end personnel that you're talking about, right? Yep. So you see that, and that can throw people off. But right now, it looks like if Musgrave's in the game, they're going to throw the ball. And you can't let that be a sell.
Yep, no, I totally agree with you on that. All right, it is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. He's Tommy Wirtz producing the show. 16-10, Packers get the win. Malik Willis throws his first career passing touchdown. How about it? Malik Willis gets the win, throws his first touchdown pass. Packers now 1-1. We haven't gone and looked at the NFL scoreboard yet. We never did that last week. I realized after I got off the air. That's something we should do week to week. So we'll do that coming up, but I'll just give you a little spoiler here. Niners lost to the Vikings, and the Lions lost to the Buccaneers. So the teams that you're concerned about battling with the one seed, are now 1-1 just like you. However, there may be a new threat in the NFC that nobody was expecting coming into the season down south. And we'll get to that a little bit more in the next hour. Plus, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur. He talked to the media already. We'll hear from Malik Willis. He already talked to the media. And more of your phone calls. I want calls. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM. The Fan, Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Express here on The Fan.
Show them what time it is!
The game is is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
All right, Packers get the win 16-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. A huge win for the Packers. Now, 1-1 on the season. Colts fall to 0-2. Malik Willis goes for his first touchdown pass of his career. Josh Jacobs, 151 yards on the ground, 32 carries. That was a big one. Romeo Doubs playing big there in the second half. Ends up with three catches and 62 yards. Packers get three interceptions off of Anthony Richardson of the Colts and take care of business. Now, we still don't know how long Jordan Love is going to be out. Matt LaFleur, during the course of the week, kept saying, well, you know, you never know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. And then he was listed as questionable on Friday, to which I lost my mind on. Get out of here. There's no way that dude's playing. Then yesterday comes word that, oh, he's been downgraded to doubtful. He should have been downgraded to out all week long is what should have happened, but we're playing games. Fine. So now here comes now this will be the second week. There's no reason he should play this week either in Tennessee against the Titans. None. I want him to get better, absolutely, but you do not need him for that game. Now, if we're going to start talking about where do you want him to be ready by, you want him to be ready for the Vikings game on the 29th of this month. Worst case scenario, you want him to be ready for the Rams game on October 6th. Because that stretch of home against the Vikings, at the Rams, home against the Cardinals, home against the Texans, that's a four-game stretch that could be treacherous for this Packers team without Jordan Love. That's why I say if he's ready for the Vikings game and ends up missing two games and is back in 3 weeks, in the initial prognosis from Schefter was 2-4, that would be really, really good. I'd be really happy about that. Now, there's been some talk earlier today that he'll be back for the Rams game, which is fine, too. He would have to miss the Vikings game. Do I think they can beat the Vikings without him? Maybe. But you're going to have to turn over Sam Darnold to really have a good chance of getting that thing done. But you did what you had to do, which is now, worst case scenario, if he's back for the Vikings and you lose to the Titans game, you're 1-2, you beat the Vikings, you're 2-2, and you're right where you want to be and have everything in front of you as far as taking care of business the way that you would like. But the one thing is, you can't rush Jordan Love back. No matter what happens here, play it safe, Tommy.
You don't think that a result against Tennessee makes a decision in Matt LaFleur's head harder? I know you're saying you don't want to rush him back. So no matter what, this is when he's going to play.
He's not playing the Titans game. I don't care how well he feels.
No. Correct. But I'm saying if we are to, or the Packers are to beat Tennessee, right?
Now they're 2-1 at that point, and then it's the Vikings.
And you had, now you can probably see, okay, maybe the division games are more important, but if he's not fully 100%, don't send him back out there.
Correct. I'm not sending him out there until he's 100%.
Even if they lose to Tennessee?
Yes.
All right.
He's not playing.
Do you think Matt LaFleur has the same mindset?
Well, I don't care if he does or not. If I'm the Packers training staff, I'm not sending him back out there. I'm not clearing him. That'll take care of that problem.
Sure.
And if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'm not letting him go back out there either. Again, even if you lose to the Titans and you're 1-2, that's not end of the world.
No.
It's just not. Especially with the Niners and Vikings both losing today, and we'll get to the NFL scoreboard coming up here in a little bit, but with both of them losing, it gives you breathing room. Now, again, there's a team down south that is destroying everybody in its path through two games, and we'll talk about them too coming up. If you don't know who we're talking about and you haven't been paying attention the last 2 weeks to anything outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, you're going to be stunned because nobody had this team being any good this year.
Charlie?
But Charlie did have
Charlie them. Was Charlie very had, high on them.
Yes, you're right. Charlie was. Charlie was very high on one of their wide receivers for fantasy football as well, and he had a big touchdown catch today, too. All right, let's hear from Matt LaFleur. They showed this on Fox 6, at the end of the national coverage before they went off there. This is Matt LaFleur in the Packers locker room after the game.
He swore a lot.
But what I like about that is he said, we got a damn good football team. The sky's the limit right now. That is something that they have to hold on to and remember. No matter what happens against Tennessee, no matter what happens against Minnesota, if it's still Malik Willis, he's got to continue to pound into their head that they're really, really good. When Love gets back, it's on, like Donkey Kong. If they beat Tennessee with Malik Willis and they're 2-1, and they beat Minnesota with Malik Willis and they're 3-1, and then Love comes back for the Rams, oh man, get out of here.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time.
Matt LaFleur's coach of the year. I don't care what happens after that.
Well, you got to... You bring up his language during that. He's got to be so fired up after
Heck
this
yeah.
game. I mean, if Malik Willis doesn't have any pride after this game, Matt LaFleur is full of it. This is, like I said, this and the Dallas playoff game last year, the two best games I can imagine he could have ever coached right there. I think he deserves all the credit in the world today for this game and his creativity on top of it, too.
Speaking of Malik Willis, he talked after the game, and this is what Malik Willis had to say. Again, first passing touchdown of his career, which was a great thing. It was something that was kind of, I don't know, on his back, I guess you could say, coming into this thing, that he hadn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. He had done it in preseason, just not in the regular season. He ends up 12 of 14, 122, a touchdown. A 126.8 rating in his Packers debut as a starter, which is the highest rating for anybody in their first start for the Packers since Brett Favre at 144 back in 1992. Here's Malik Willis after the game. I don't know. I'm not going to play all of Malik Willis, but there's some of Malik Willis's press conference from earlier. I don't know about you, but you just listen to him. You know, that's the first press conference we really heard, per se, obviously, after a game. Just a real chilled, laid-back dude. Humble, obviously. I mean, they asked him on TV after the game if he was proud. And he's, oh, I'm not proud. No, man, we just got to get ready for next week and do our thing or whatever else, which I thought was weird at the time. Still kind of think it's weird. Like, I didn't think it was a bad thing to be proud of your performance or proud of yourself, but apparently he doesn't view it that way, which is fine, whatever. He seems like a nice dude. And that's everything we've heard when we've talked to people in Nashville, like just a solid dude that works hard, puts his head down, does the grind. Teammates all like him, all get along with him. Coaching staffs all like him. So it wasn't like he got traded out of Nashville because nobody liked him and wanted him out of the locker room. That wasn't it at all. In fact, he played well in that last preseason game for him. So it's a guy that you want to root for and pull for. And as Brian Gutekunst has said time and time again, they want high-character guys on this roster and in this locker room. And that's very similar to what Ted Thompson wanted as well when he was general manager. It hasn't changed under Brian Gutekunst. And from that perspective, Tommy, it appears they have that guy as a backup quarterback right now in Malik Willis after they win 16-10.
Yeah, it's a very important role on the team, too, to help dissect film for Jordan Love. You know, you're going to be writing up a lot of game plans for week in, week out as the backup quarterback, too. You're going to be involved in those quarterback rooms, judging what you guys are going to run the next week. Malik Willis, if he's a guy that, you know, you saw how animated he was after that throw to Romeo Doubs. Everyone was excited for Malik Willis and for Romeo Doubs after that big play. I think that this team rallied around him today. There was never a doubt that Malik Willis was going to be a bad character guy for them or not a good teammate. And they protected him really well, so I'm sure he's going to say a big thank you to the offensive line as well today, and that's only going to help them out in their relationship. Malik Willis, it is a storybook backup quarterback performance. It's exactly what you need to have a backup quarterback when you have a game like this for any franchise, let alone the Green Bay Packers today.
I totally agree with you. Let's get to the turning point of the game.
What play or plays changed today's game? It's time for the turning point of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's look at the turning point of the game. A win for the Green Bay Packers, 16-10. Anthony Richardson and the Colts had a chance to throw a Hail Mary type pass there at the end. Intercepted by Evan Williams. Packers still get the win. Turning point of the game. Now, for the defensive play of the game, you kind of hinted at that this might be your turning point of the game as well. I'm going to go to you first before I tell you what I think mine is. What is yours, Tommy?
My turning point of the game is the third drive on offense for Indianapolis. That was the drive after the Josh Jacobs fumble. And they had the roughing the passer penalty on Anthony Richardson that drive. That was kind of a soft roughing the passer.
Yep.
And Anthony Richardson didn't help the Colts out by any means on that. He had a lot of throws and decisions that were selling, but it was a huge defensive hold to keep momentum after you had a lot of life sucked out of you by not going up 17-0 right there. That was a huge defensive hold, I think, that was not necessarily a turning point, but definitely a momentum halter, and I think that's why it also qualifies as a turning point of the game.
Mine's not all that difficult, but I think it was a turning point for several reasons, which I will tell you right after I play this highlight courtesy of Fox 6.
41 for 135 yards. Put it in the air this time. And it's still there to Wicks, and a touchdown. Willis threads it through for his first NFL strike, and a touchdown.
That was big. It was only the first quarter. It only made it 10-0. But the confidence that grew from that play, from that throw, I think carries you through the rest of the game. And it doesn't only carry Malik Willis. I think it carries the other guys around him on offense.
It was a great throw, too. Yes,
it was. Out to the right side. To me, and again, Wicks did a great job of staying in bounds, not going out of bounds there, short, and turning it upfield and scoring. But my thing is, they're not stupid. They knew he didn't have a touchdown pass. They knew he was a third-round pick. And I'm sure they're like, dude, hasn't even thrown a touchdown pass yet, and he's our backup now? All right, I guess. Let's see what happens. And then you come out, and it's the Josh Jacobs show running the football down their throat, which is all fine and dandy, and I get down with that. But I'm sure as wide receivers and so forth, they're probably like, okay, well, it doesn't look like we're going to get many opportunities here. They don't trust them, so we're going to run. You make that throw, that ends up being a touchdown. I think that just instills confidence in everybody from that moment in time of going, hey, we can win this thing. You know, he's not bad. We can go win this thing. I think, to me, that was kind of the turning point of the game from a momentum standpoint and from a confidence standpoint.
Yeah, they absolutely knew their offensive game plan was working after that when you could get Malik Willis. Greg Olsen had said it on the broadcast. I mean, he thought that ball was going to be picked by Kenny Moore.
He dove for it. I don't think he tried to get a hand on it. I don't think it was going to get picked.
There was not a better spot you could have put the ball. Wicks had a great game. I know his stats don't jump off the page. He had two huge grabs in this game in order to keep the game going, and obviously Malik Willis' first touchdown pass. I love the answer for a turning point of the game. I just think that even after the first offensive possession, you could see the offense was working. And I know they only got a field goal out of it, but you could tell that Indy was not ready for the rushing attack on Josh Jacobs today. And as long as Malik Willis was playing mistake-free football and playing from ahead, the Packers' offense was as perfect as you can think it could be in a first half.
And the other thing, too, is you talk about this offensive line for the Green Bay Packers. We really haven't given them flowers necessarily throughout the course of the day, but when you don't run the football and guys are getting pushed back into your face, then it's, oh, that offensive line can't run block. Today, when you have a huge first half, I think a lot of it was play design, but when you have a huge first half like that, you're building confidence in that offensive line and building confidence in Jacobs and Lloyd that they can get holes behind this offensive line and create movement and get guys going back the other way. That also, I think, is a big step forward for the rest of the season.
Well, and they were averaging over 10 yards a play the first quarter. Yep. I mean, anything they drew up on the running game was working. And I don't remember the last time I've seen Green Bay run the ball 53 times in a game, but they were not going to waver off of it after they saw the success. And it wasn't until not even exactly when the second quarter started, but into the second quarter, they started doing the five-man fronts for Gus Bradley to try to negate that. But I think that Matt LaFleur was heavy set on, we're going to come out trying to start running the football. The offensive line held their own against what's supposed to be a really impactful part of the Colts defense, too, is their front seven. And DeForest Buckner, I know, was a little banged up, but they punched him right in the mouth, and they kept at it. And I think that this Green Bay offensive line was a huge improvement from a week ago.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's something that you want to continue to build on. Now, again, Tennessee is going to be difficult next week. They have a legitimate, solid defense. Offense, nothing to write home about, but defensively, they're going to present problems for Malik Willis and this Packers offense. So we'll see how they adjust. We'll see what the new game plan is next week. Take a quick timeout. Packers get the win 16-10. Coming up, we'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Still want to go around the NFL and talk about some of the other games that happened today. Here till 5 o'clock. Still time for you to jump aboard if you'd like to. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Don't forget, Ross Tucker joins me coming up tomorrow on Wisconsin Sports Daily at 3:20. Ross Tucker tomorrow on Wisconsin Sports Daily at 3:20, our Odyssey NFL insider. All right, let's talk about the drive of the game. A Packers win 16-10. And a game that I don't think anybody was super confident in coming in that they were actually going to win this game at this point in time with Malik Willis. A lot of unknowns. Just didn't know what the offense was going to look like. Didn't know what it was all going to look like as far as game plan was going to be. How much were they going to trust Malik Willis? How much were they going to let him throw the football? I was fairly confident they weren't going to let him throw it 30 or 40 times. That much I was fairly confident in. I did not expect them to run it nearly as much as they did there in the first half with Josh Jacobs, you know, totaling 151 yards for the game on 32 carries. Didn't see that one coming. Drive of the game. This is going to sound really crazy. I think it's the first drive of the game where they marched down the field running the football. Colts on their heels, couldn't figure anything out, and they're able to put points on the board and get the lead.
Went 3 for 4 in his debut in Brazil. Tries it from 46 yards. And he's got it.
And Braden Narveson hits that one and put him up 3-0. Now, again, he ended up missing the field goal there in the fourth quarter. So, as I said earlier, it feels like Anders Carlson all over again with, we're going to miss an extra point or a field goal every game, and it's just a matter of where in the game he's going to miss it and how big of a deal it's going to be by the time the game is all said and done. So, for me, that was probably the drive of the game for me at the very least. And you look at that play, that drive, 8 plays, 42 yards. That led them to that field goal there before everything was said and done. And it makes you feel good about where you're kind of headed. Look, Josh Jacobs up the middle for 3 yards. Then next play, 2nd and 7, he goes for 12 yards up the middle. Then the next play, Malik Willis throws to Tucker Kraft for 15 yards. Penalty on Myers. Ineligible man downfield. It comes back. Then they come back. Lloyd left end out of bounds at the Colts 44 for 16 yards. Penalty comes back. Now it's at the Packers 35. Jacobs left tackle push out of bounds 31. 34-yard run. Followed up by Wilson up the middle for 3 yards. Then Wilson right end for no gain. Then Willis short pass to Jaden Reed to the 28 for no gain. And then Narveson 46-yard field goal. Look at all the penalties that they got negated there. You had one negated to 15 yards. You had another one negated for 16 yards. And you were still able to overcome all of that and get points on the board. That could have been a first drive that ended up 4th and forever long. You punt and you have no confidence coming off the field. Instead, because of that gigantic run by Jacobs, you're able to overcome and score. For me, Tommy, that's my drive of the game.
Yeah, I think it's a great choice too. And even on the second drive, the touchdown drive, yes. They had a touchdown negated by a penalty, right? That was something they had to overcome in the first few drives a couple of times. And they held their cool. The composure was great from Malik Willis. He never looked nervous today on top of it on any of the drives, quite frankly. I think the second drive, the Malik Willis draw play was also just beautiful for him, for his confidence on top of it.
And he doesn't call that type of stuff for Jordan Love.
No. And that will that is the one play you can guarantee will not translate into the Jordan Love offense.
Right.
You were wondering how much of the playbook sticks around. There's no way Jordan Love, especially after a sprained MCL, is going to be running any draw plays this year on an offense. So I think that the first drive was great for the confidence and drive of the game. Absolutely warranted as well, too. And it really set the tone for Josh Jacobs being the workhorse today as well.
Yeah, it did. Packers win 16-10. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. And speaking of our fine folks over there at Young Express, they are right now looking for full-time independent contractors, drivers that can go within about 250 miles or so of Milwaukee. Now, again, looking for people that have cargo vans or sprinter vans. All you're doing is driving for a living. 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you. And with a 24/7 dispatch team that are very committed to keep you moving, you're set up for a lot of success. You're just driving from point A to point B and then going to the next spot to pick up more freight. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. Let's hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, who talked after this Packers win to get their record back to 1-1. There is Matt LaFleur. There's some of it. We're not going to have time to get to the rest of it, unfortunately. But I will say this. There was a play that has gone viral all over social media in which Malik Willis, it's a third down play, and he ends up getting out of trouble and running upfield and not getting the first down. And apparently LaFleur asked Malik, why didn't you throw the ball? And apparently it's because Josh Myers threw up on the ball prior to snapping the ball to Malik Willis. So that is correct. He snapped the ball with his puke all over it to the quarterback, who then held onto the ball and ran with it upfield and gained some yards, not the first down. That is absolutely disgusting. That's disgusting. Like, I couldn't even, like, I wouldn't want to carry my kid's puke on a football upfield. This is somebody that's not my kid, and now away we go. And the fact that nobody punched it out, he didn't slip out of his hands or whatever the case may be, I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Do you think, I bet you Charlie has some experience. I never played to the high level of football, you know, collegiate football like Charlie did, right? I bet you he's got a story of an offensive lineman
puking on the football.
Oh yeah, puking plays, puking during plays.
Oh,
maybe
not
the
center plays, but we're talking about the center on the damn football.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a lot more rare.
If Charlie pukes at left tackle, who cares?
Right.
I'm the quarterback. I still run my play. You puke on the football and then give me said ball. Here, go run the play.
Yeah, that's
I'll
gross.
Block. No, man.
Yeah, that is disgusting.
No, No, I'm not doing that. And Malik Willis wasn't wearing gloves, was he?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man. Come
yeah, that's,
on.
He said it was the electrolyte drink before the game.
Sure, blame so, it on whatever you want.
I don't know really if care. That's a... Yeah, he's whatever. Not saying Gatorade or if they serve him something special, but maybe less of those before the game.
You say whatever you want to say at this point. It doesn't really matter what the reason was why you puked, but you puked nonetheless and then gave the quarterback the football and said, here, go have some. Oh, my goodness. That is not fun. All right, take a quick timeout. Packers get the win 16-10. I want to look at the NFL score, but we got some more sound from inside the locker room, including Josh Jacobs. So we'll hear from him, too. Packers running back who absolutely destroyed the Tennessee Titans. This Sunday afternoon on the ground. He ran all over him in the first half. It was a little bit tough for sledding there in the second half, but 32 carries, 151 yards for Josh Jacobs in that victory. Packers now 1-1 as they'll get ready for the Tennessee Titans next week. Don't forget, it is a Green and Gold Monday tomorrow here on the Fan Wisconsin Sports Daily from 2 until 5. And we'll have Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins the show at 3:20. And of course, you hear Ross Tucker on Westwood One, Monday Night Football games and everything else that he's involved in. And really, really looking forward to talking to Ross tomorrow about everything that happened around the National Football League today, including, of course, the Green Bay Packers. And one side note about the Brewers, D.L. Hall's hype train crashed and burned today in Arizona. You can look at the score yourself. But yeah, they're losing right now, and they're trying to put together a rally here in, what inning are we in there? The fifth inning in Arizona. Brewers getting shut out currently. Zach Gallen's a really good pitcher, though, for the D-backs, with all due respect. I mean, I'm not surprised the offense is struggling, but I expect D.L. Hall to be better than what he was today. All right, back after this Green Bay Football postgame show, driven by Young Express on 1250 AM. The Fan, Sparky with you. Brewers get the win. Not the Brewers. The Packers get the win. I got it. First time all day I've done it. See, I knew there was going to be a problem with me watching the Brewers game while I was doing this show. 16-10, Packers get the win. MVP, could it be Malik Willis? Yeah, maybe. First touchdown pass, first win with the Packers, sure. Josh Jacobs had a big day. Obviously, 151 yards could be Josh Jacobs. No. Matt LaFleur, your MVP of the game. Great, great game planning by Matt LaFleur, especially there in the first half to really put this team in a position to take the lead against Tennessee, against the Colts, and keep the Colts' offense off the field in the meantime, and keep his defense off the field as well, and control the atmosphere at Lambeau Field as much as he can as far as keeping that crowd nice and loud when the Colts offense was on the field. But just a great job by Matt LaFleur, showing a bunch of run plays that nobody really has on film against him at all, and really keeping the Colts defense guessing. Now, they made their adjustments at halftime. It became more rough sledding there in the second half, but by that point, the Packers were up and in control. The Packers defense did what they were supposed to do, which I talked about on Wisconsin Sports Daily during the week, which was, hey, man, Richardson's going to give you two or three chances to intercept him. Just hold on to the ball. And outside of Quay Walker, they held on to the passes that were thrown to him and created three turnovers against Anthony Richardson en route to a win. So Matt LaFleur definitely your MVP of the game. Before the break, I said the Brewers were getting shut out. No longer. Jackson Churio hit a three-run homer as soon as we went to break. It's now 5-3 D-backs, top of five. Jackson Churio is just a beast. 21 homers, now 75 RBIs on the season for Jackson Churio. Goodness gracious. Okay, a little bit of Josh Jacobs here after the game. Here's Josh Jacobs, Packers running back. Oh, good thing he didn't cramp up during the game. Elgton Jenkins apparently was having issues with the heat throughout the game. It was really hot out there, and they were putting together those long drives. Quickly here, before we get out of here, I want to go around and look at the National Football League scoreboard. For you fantasy players that have Matthew Stafford as a starting quarterback, might be time to find somebody else. Because you already lost Puka Nacua, and now you just lost Cooper Kupp today as well. Doubtful to return with an ankle injury. They're getting smoked by the Cardinals. 31-3. In the third quarter, so that Rams hype train might be over. Their season, as far as making the playoffs, might be over as well. Justin Fields, touchdown pass there in the first half. He's looked good. They're up 10-0 on the Broncos at halftime. Bengals and Chiefs going back and forth, 16-10 there. Cincinnati getting ready to go to halftime in that one. Bears and Texans, obviously, tonight. Other finals today, the Raiders come from behind and beat the Ravens in Baltimore, 26-23. Who had that one, Tommy?
No, that's a heck of a win. Big day for Brock Bowers, too.
He's going to be a stud.
Yeah,
we
good.
Knew it coming out of Georgia. He was going to be good. Browns over the Jaguars, 18-13. Everybody can spare me the Trevor Lawrence hype train that I heard all offseason. They're still not good. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers did not look good in the first half, but looked good when it mattered in the second half. They beat the Titans 24-17. Levis had a chance there at the end to possibly tie it and couldn't get the job done, Charlie. Or Tommy.
Yeah, that's the first one you've only done now today as well.
Only the first one?
Yeah, that's only the first
one. That's good.
Yeah,
I came out say this segment in general has been horrible. Yeah. Came out talking about the Brewers. Then I said they were playing Tennessee, and now I called you Charlie. So this is we should have ended 15 minutes earlier.
Well, it's all right. I'll stick it out with you. Yeah, I mean the Jets had to look a lot better than they did last week. So good for Aaron Rodgers, I guess today. Still waiting for the huge breakout game in a New York Jets uniform, but. Good to get the win over Tennessee.
18 of 36 for 176 yards only for Aaron Rodgers and two touchdowns, which isn't horrible necessarily. Braylon Allen, the former Badger, had a touchdown, two touchdowns in that game. Braylon Allen had a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
Yeah.
Breece Hall had a receiving touchdown for those of you that play fantasy football. I'm not sure anybody's starting Braylon Allen at this point, but those are the numbers. All right, some of the other games going on. Vikings over the Niners, 23-17. Sam Darnold continues to play well. 97-yard touchdown catch there by Justin Jefferson. Chargers, J.K. Dobbins, man. Jim Harbaugh is making him into an absolute stud. 17 for 131 and a score. 43-yard scamper for a touchdown in that one for J.K. Dobbins.
He's always been good when he's been healthy. He's obviously just had really bad injury history, especially when he was in Baltimore.
Yep.
Now, if he can stay on the field, I mean, he's always been a dynamic playmaker, and Jim Harbaugh's getting the most out of him right now.
Bryce Young, I don't know. 18 of 26, 84 yards and a pick.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's done.
Yeah, it's...
I think he's done.
Is that...
Second year, he's done.
They were talking about that being one of the worst trades in NFL history already.
It's just... I mean, I don't know if anybody thought he was going to be a superstar, but I definitely don't think anybody thought he was going to be this bad.
Well, and he was consensus above C.J. Stroud when it was coming out. It was was not a debate on who should go first. It was Bryce Young's going to go first.
Yep, I totally agree.
And... He just has not been it, and Carolina doesn't have a lot to help him anyway.
Nope. Seahawks had to go to overtime to beat the Patriots. Patriots, you know, they're playing really well right now. Considering what they have talent-wise, which isn't a ton on offense, they are really playing a much better brand of football, and they're playing hard for Mayo. And that's a big deal for New England, so we'll see how far that goes. Commanders over the Giants, they had to have a game-winning field goal at the end. That game was tied at 18. Brian Daboll, I think, shattered his headset, throwing it down in disgust after that game as they lose again because he knows he's going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
He knows he's done.
He's gone.
Joe Shane is gone. The general manager, he's going to be gone at the end of the year, too. Unless something dramatically changes, they're all gone.
He might not make it the whole season.
No, he might not. No. Buccaneers go into Detroit and beat the Lions. That is a huge win from a Packer fan perspective because that drops the Lions to 1-1. Baker Mayfield was okay. 12 of 19, 185, a touchdown and a pick. And 117 yards receiving for Chris Godwin and a touchdown. The Lions, Jared Goff being Jared Goff again, two interceptions. He did throw for 307 yards, no touchdowns. Montgomery had a touchdown for the Detroit Lions in that one. Again, a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then the other game that I've been avoided talking about, the team that is absolutely destroying teams. They threw up, 47 last week?
Yep.
And they threw up 44 this week against the Cowboys. 44 to 19. An unbelievable game. One more time by this Saints team. Alvin Kamara looks like he has found the fountain of youth and free of injury.
He's good
for 20 carries, 115 yards, three touchdowns rushing, and two catches for 65 yards and a touchdown receiving.
He's good for one of these games a year. They just absolutely dominating game. And you remember he had the 6-touchdown game against the Vikings a couple years back? I mean, he's never really he's not the most consistent guy. He's never really terrible. You remember when he torched the Packers last year? You know, that was his game. He's good for one of these games a year, and he's a freak, and put up 44 fantasy points against me today. So,
Yeah, sorry. He is Tommy Wirtz. Did a great job producing today's show. Steve Sparky, Fiver with you. Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express. Back talking about this Packers game tomorrow on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Talk some Brewers as well. They're down 5-3 right now. Bottom of 5. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider at 3:20. Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports talking Brewers at 4:40. We'll talk to you then. Have a good rest of your day. Toodles!